I was young, and I had romantic ideas. A snake, I've read of these women who would have pythons in their arms. So when Baba said about a snake, I said, I'll look after the snake, you know. It was a very green thing, very pretty, very delicate, you know. And so we would put it in our room, which is opposite of the museum room. That's where we lived, all the women, in that long big room. So all the stuff for it, the food, the water, and the snake. And then there was a case of glass all around, which I just put on it. So, and then every now and then, this thing would escape. And I was told, money, 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 look, look, it's not there. Where is it? Oh, dear, now where is she gone? So underground, and behind the trunks, and under the bed, and at last get it and haul it out. And one day, when something happened, again, they said, look, where is it? Nobody liked it slithering around the room. Mm-hmm. So again, I looked, and I found it at the back of a pile of trunks. So I bent over, and I picked it up. And when I picked it up and brought it out, instead of just hanging loose like a snake always does when you lift it, it stood out. Like, it became like a stick. I've never seen anything like it. It just straightened out like a stick, like you read of those things about Moses. And there I was holding this stick, snake. And then I told Bob, and I said, this happened and I don't like it, Bob. Set it off. So that meant, I suppose his work was over with it.
Turn back into a staff.
I just don't know. They're not so well prepared, but there was some second it was just like this. And I never knew that happened. I've asked people who said, no. Why this? And that was cancelled. But for the pets, all sorts of things were coming around. This was for the monkeys, and the clothes were for this, and the raisins. So in the end, Nadine Tolstoy, she had care of the cat. And she thought everybody who was given charge of pets was given all sorts of things for their pets. So why not raisins for my cat? I don't think all of it went to the cat. I'm going to let it be for a while, and then had a showdown of it. Thing about this sweet little monkey was that his skin had an odor, a smell. felt that nothing could take away. No amount of washing or putting talcum powder. It was fantastic. But Kitty, they developed such a close relationship between Kitty and the little Jumpu. I mean, Jumpu always wanted to be taken by Kitty, carried around by Kitty. And Kitty didn't mind that stink. That smell. Because if you carried it after a while, your clothes caught on that smell. But Kitty was wonderful. In fact, if sometimes Katie, you know, just because Kitty was too busy or once or twice, but sorry, because Jumpu would make such a lovely expression. He'd convey to you, you know, so humanly what he wants. So Katie took him. For days she was putting that coat in the sun. And then the little Jumpu would be angry with Kitty because he really loved Kitty. So Kitty would sometimes say, no, I've no time. I can get all red in the face, absolutely red, and go like this. Really, you know, an attention. And he would be upset with Kitty. So when Kitty would have time to take him, he wouldn't. No, I'm not coming to you now.
He's in the room, which is now the museum room, and the toilet entrated, and Bobby was making shut the door at night, and Kitty just can't stand it, and the whole room was empty, and the spring unwashed itself, and Kitty was very indignant, and that's before we put our foot down, so that the engine was on a little desk arrangement, and then we'd go down to the tumble. And the next morning, he was so indignant to him that it took hours and hours to coax him.
Oh, an endless story that would make volumes. So let's get to something.
Who's going to be the push and pull sign? I'm not pushing at that push.
Bala sir, where is that book you wanted us to read about Jesus today? Here. In the morning, Bala sir comes to me and says, "How do you like this chapter on Jesus?" I said, "You know, it's good to remember the great old man on this day." I said, "That's very good." So today we'll ask Rufus to read that little paragraph. Rufus, you read that? Sometimes. Are you in a mood to read that?
Yes.
What happened to your childhood? None of you.
This is from Gibran's book called Jesus, Son of Man.
It's strange whenever we read about Jesus. It's so much like reading about Baba. When we were reading the Nazarene, we were talking about a chapter, we keep saying Baba did this and Baba, and then I'm Jesus. Not only as a past advent, but I mean, it's so much recognition. They're so alike. It's like giving a description or a picture of Baba, of his now advent.
What time is that show at 4 o'clock? It takes only 2 minutes to bring a cup of tea. All right. So, Philip, it's 4 o'clock. It is fixed now, provided we all survive.
Did Baba say that?
Yes. I thought Jumpu was crazy.
That Jesus died on the cross and he didn't die on the cross?
Baba said that he was being crucified every moment.
and that he was glorified every moment by the love of his lover, crucified every moment by his own creation in that ignorance. Yes, Baba said that. Baba referred to himself. And he would do like this. For crucifixion, that was his gesture. The nails, he would do like that when he spoke of his sister. Yeah, he was.
That Jesus, he was crucified.
That's what I say.
Did he die on the cross?
No. From many hints that passed through Baba, he didn't die on the cross. He may have sinned, and he may have been sorely wounded, but then because of certain influential people around his body, you know, that his body was made an exception and was removed from the cross that very evening. Because otherwise the rule was to keep the body there till it withered and was eaten away by animals. So his body was removed. So, and other hints that Baba gave us, we gathered that he didn't die on the cross.
Hey, would
you say that Jesus was buried in Kashmir? Yes, that's what Baba told us in the very, very beginning, in the 30s. 20s, you mean, or it, late 20s and 30s, that he was buried in Kashmir.
Yes.
Mm. Now, how he went there, what, who were with him and all that, it's all a mystery.
Yes.
Whether he was taken, you see, well, on a sedan chair, like as Baba used to carry Baba, or whether he walked the distance afterwards and got himself whole, we don't know. We know one thing, that about his ascension and about his resurrection and all these things, Baba always used to give us hints about it, saying that whenever his event takes place, it's in the most natural way, as a human being. Whenever he passes away, it's also in the most natural way, like a human being passing away. Because he becomes man to be with us as men, and he passes away as man. His birth is that of a child that is delivered by the mother, and he dies as man. It's always natural. There's nothing supernatural about his coming into the world or passing away. So all this, you see, about the virgin birth and about the, resurrection and about ascension and others speaking in fiery tongues and the descent of Holy Ghost, all is symbolic.
Yes.
Does Baba intend that a church should grow up now?
Baba never intends, and on the contrary, Baba discourages any church to grow. He comes to demolish, he does demolish, giving us a concept of true worship as he would want us to. But then man, in his fervor, wanting to please his Lord, creates an edifice, which then remains as a religion. And then, of course, the edifice is well decorated, and the pinnacle is put, and spire is there, and bells ring, and all sorts of things happen.
And
it's all man-made.
Very clever.
Yeah. What can he do? But he can't stop it. That's his game, most probably. He comes us to remind again and again. And we forget. Had we not forgotten, we wouldn't have the pleasure of having him in our midst. That's also his compassion. Yeah. Let alone years having passed by, you see, after each advent. But even during his advent, you see, the tendency is such to create new religion. In spite of his warnings, in spite of he's so often telling us to beware of all these things. You have no idea when some people came, you see, in order to create a statue of Baba, life-size statue in the lifetime, and to build a temple. So there was, I think, it took 2 years for them to have their own point of view. There were Baba lovers all spread out in India, and they would be called near him once in a while. Often he would be in seclusion. So whenever they would come, they would feel so happy to be by his side. And then parting was very sad. And parting took place within a few hours. Both from Baba's side and from his lover's side. And when they would leave, you know, they would tell loudly sometimes, give out their minds, speak out their minds loudly. Or even outside they would say, how blessed you people are that you are permitted to live by his side. And how unfortunate we are that we have to leave him so soon. So we would say that we would rather to be away from him so that we can remember him and love him all the more. Here there is no separation between us and him, so we are unfortunate we can't love him as he should be loved. How fortunate you are to be away from him, that separateness creates love for you. So that's how we would exchange, you see, our feelings. But they were not satisfied. They didn't take comfort in that, what we said. And on the contrary, they had in mind all the time that we were very blessed. And apart from being blessed, we were the cause of keeping them away. We would like to have Baba to ourselves. So one day there came a delegation of some of the lovers from different parts. They wanted to create a life-size statue, and Baba put his hand up, put his foot down and stopped them with his hands and gestures, and now that shouldn't be there. I don't like it. I have come to do away with all this. She says, but how? What have we got in our hands? Anything tangible? She says, I am there. Even in my presence, you want to take all that. She says, but your presence is far away from us. We can't feel your presence. We want something more tangible. Pictures won't do to us. We want to worship you. We want to wash your feet. We want to press our foreheads at your feet. Where is the opportunity? And if you don't give us the opportunity, we will create a statue of us. That was the head they gave to their beloved. So such things do happen, kid, even in his advent. What to do? Then Baba said, then there was a lot of persuasion on the part of the lovers, and they pleased the Lord by saying that, well, let there be some substitute for flesh and blood. We hunger for that. Give us something. We will abide by whatever your pleasure is. We will not worship you in statues. We'll worship you in our hearts. He says, but what will posterity think of you? What will they make out of these statues and temples? He says, advise us what to do now. So he says, carve the messages on the stone around the statue. So then all around the statue, on the walls, there are these messages that are carved out in stone. And Baba told them not to have any set ceremonies or rituals. Have nothing to do with all that. Just feast your eyes on a replica of Baba in stone image. If you cannot feel satisfied with the many thousands of pictures and portraits that are there. So, every advent, every time anyone comes, he tries to do away with all this. And man tries to create. Man, intrinsically, is an idol worshipper. So these are the messages that are carved out there in stone, mind you. Not painted or anything. On huge blocks of stone, all around his statue that is there. Tear the curtain of set ceremonies and rituals, and you will find that I am the worshipped, the worshipped, and the worshipper. To clothe simple worship with garments of ceremony and ritual is to expose me to the cold winds of ignorance. To faithfully love God-man is to truly worship God. To find me here in Mehrstan, search the depth of your heart. Mehrstan is the very big building built where Baba statue is housed. You remind me, Jao?
Yeah.
She wants us to leave this place at 12:30 so that you all can have your lunch by that time. Why do you want them to be at 12:30, Mani? Oh, they should have some appetite for that. And suppose if we don't go out for lunch and have a voracious appetite at 3 o'clock. How about that? Okay.
Yogi, because he doesn't have lunch.
But that doesn't mean that I will share my cake. My piece of cake is mine. Now see where we were, you see. We were there, you see, with posterity, and now we are talking about piece of cake. That's the beauty of Baba, you know. He takes us to the seventh heaven and is also there on the very gross plains and all that. That's always with Baba, always with Baba. It's the beauty of Baba's presence. That's the thing. You talk of so things so sublime. You just lead us into the seventh plane and yet you immediately make us feel that, well, we are human beings. That's how it is.
That seems very much what I want, Stuart. He acquiesced to their pleading for the statue, and he says, okay, under this condition, he puts that adversity to the statue, so you can't find you through the statue.
Yeah. But here more. This is the beginning now. It's what he says now, to end up the whole thing. To faithfully love God, man, is to truly worship God. To find me, Mehrstan is the name of the place. Mehrstan means abode of man, where the statue is housed, on the banks of the river Godavari, where he gave public audience to many thousands of people in south of India. So they have created a huge place, a building there, and a statue, life-size statue there.
We have got the feet there of the same statue. See the feet there? So the person who created the statue sent the feet over here. Yeah. Of course, he has the feet there in the statue. These are extra feet. Spare feet.
But these are actually a mold of Baba's feet.
Yeah, from the, yeah.
Not just he carved.
These are the casts from the mold that they have taken. So to find me here in Mehrstan, search the depth of your heart. Mehrstan has been built for me with love. But I may only be found here by my lover who brings me here in his heart. Otherwise you won't find. Yeah. Unless until you bring me, you bring me in this building. As the heart is, so is the house. As the eye is, so is the image within the house. The heart of man has always been the ancient temple for the worship of the ancient one. Nothing can house the ancient one that does not house love. But then, these are the messages that are there, carved out in stone. And then, of course, the whole book is here. A lot of controversy. These pundits over there, it's a very orthodox region there, in South India. And they wanted to install the statue with certain mantras. You know, they say that whenever this, you know, these idols are installed in temples, they're not just put there for the sculptor's house there and put there. Then they have to undergo days of ceremonies, you know, and breathe in life into it. So they, yeah, through mantras. So they wanted to have all that sort of thing there, to make Baba live in that statue.
Let us hear a Baba mantra.
Pardon?
Let us hear a Baba mantra.
Baba mantra?
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba. Baba is there. That's what Baba mantra is there. So Baba said, well, if you want to breathe me into that statue, why don't you love me as I am? And he said, so this whole book is full of all that. Rajesh, you don't want to go through that whole rigmarole of the pundits, you know. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful, I tell you. Yeah. Those who want to do research work and all that, for them is something extraordinary. The letters they wrote, the letters Baba, the replies that Baba gave and we wrote from here. Very controversial issues, whether there should be statues or not. And humanity insisted upon having statues, and Baba insisted upon not having it. And then there was this compromise. But on condition, let it be there for posterity. That you carve these without the stone. So wherever there are, it's not just that one place. There are other three places, I think, where these life-size statues are now. Everywhere there are different types of messages given by Baba to open the eyes of all those who visit the place, saying that what Baba says about it. That's good of Baba to have given us a guideline. But will man listen? No. In his longing to please him, he forgets what he wants. That's how it is. That's why Baba also has given us a nice discourse. That we always want to please him and do things that he wants us to do. But eventually we do what we want. We make him say things as we want.
That's the rule of the end.
Yeah. It's just play. It's his play. He plays himself with us. We are his playmates.
Yes.
Hmm?
I have two Christmas poems I'd like
to read. Oh, beautiful. Read that. Kit, what are you reading nowadays? what is it?
Well, as because a matter of fact, I've been deeply impressed by the very, very last discourse in the hardbound Rajiv Volume 3. Well, as you know, I've been knocking my head against the wall. I go from discourse to discourse to discourse. And it just seems like there's really nothing I can do except offer myself to Baba. Whether you're talking about the ego or the mind or any of the wonderful things, if he wants us to reach out and think, the end of the chapter always says you can do nothing without Baba. Except for this one discourse, this very last one. This on divine love. Again, he starts out by explaining love in the gross world, the subtle world, the mental world. And I would say if anyone is confused by God's speech and can't place himself in that book, I read this simple. It says, if you're on the gross planes, you have 100% left. On the subtle planes, you have half. And then it explains that the other 50%, We moved into triumphant paragraphs describing divine love, how we should begin to generate this. That once we begin to generate this, then we will learn that God is infinite love. This is the only
chapter I
have. For he doesn't refer to the master, something outside of ourselves, to help us and give us almost permission or clear. I mean, he says, you can be infinite love. And not that this does me any good, because that's the stuff of me. But just after that, in discourse, which really is the last few paragraphs are the most beautiful paragraphs in the entire book. Why then he gives quickly 12 ways of realizing me. 12 ways of realizing me, that's really amazing. And there are things that really aren't that hard to do.
One way of realizing him takes so many incarnations. 12 ways of realizing him, so many millions.
Oh, no,
we should
think in terms of...
Oh, I'm disappointed.
It is not that easy. No, it's much easier than... No, Father talks again and again and again at these goals, these very high goals. Sahar Samadhi, perfection, Siddha, all one after another. He wants us to go with us now, in this life.
Yes, that's true.
He doesn't want us to be discouraged by the prospect of 100 incarnations.
That's good. That's something bright today.
No. No, in fact, it's much easier than that. He gives four ways in another book. He gives four ways of reading him. And these are easy. Take Baba's name 14 times a day. And then you'll take Baba's name on the last day of your life. And you'll come to him. And this he promises, not with one of his sly, clever, Persian prophecies. No. This he says, with divine authority. I promise you that if you take my name on the last day, you will come to me. In the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita. Which is
Bhagavad
Gita. Again and again. You will come to me. You will come to me. Verse after verse. You will come to me. That's what Baba wants. He never wants to continue here for the stalemate of earth.
No.
What about the next life? I mean, me, with my tendency. What's going to happen? That's something I want to risk.
Then hurry up. The trouble with us is, you see, whenever he wants to give us something as his prasad, somehow or other, either our hands are so full that we cannot accept it. Or even if we accept it, you see, it overflows with the fullness that we are, you see. So whenever he gives us his prasad, that's the trouble, you see. At that time, we have to see that our receptacle is empty. So accept what he gives us as his prasad, you see. The things that he has said, beautiful. Everything is there.
I've been kind of making a spectacle of myself with struggling for self-realization. But, you know, he discourages everything else.
Mm.
Everything else he discourages.
That's true.
Discouraged. Mm. Forbidden.
Your argues make it forbidden. And I'd love to vomit. It's the greatest thing you can do. It's the greatest thing.
But do you all know what arti means, first of all, before struggling, you see, amongst yourselves? Art means that which is so close, the closest, which is your heart. You see, the thing that comes out of your heart with spontaneity is known as arti. Arti means what? Oh, bah. That's arti, of the best quality. Just a word, you know.
Oh, God.
That comes out spontaneously from your heart is the highest type of arti. But we weaklings, you know, we croakers, frogs, we have nothing, no voice, no talents, nothing. So we depend upon others' composition, and we follow, and we repeat. Although it's a borrowed, spontaneous expression, yet it helps us, it soothes us. That's how it is. But what he says is that don't make it a ritual out of it. Be spontaneous. That which takes you, uplifts you, is good.
In the arties that we say in arties that were written for Bhagavad Gita for him when he was in body, he gave us the prayers that we say in arties. Yeah. You should tell him about the Bhagavad Gita, about the prayers, how he came about the prayers, how he read the prayer in front of Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. For kids' sake?
For my sake. I would never criticize anybody's expression.
No, that's true. What you say is quite right. We are proud of it. Nobody should scoff at anybody's expression of love. Nobody knows what great love, you see, one is offering himself. Even if somebody were to, burn joss sticks before Baba, or carry some fruits before Baba, or bows down, or takes the dust of the floor that is there and rubs it on his forehead, one should feel the warmth of that expression of love or devotion rather than scoff. Beware, Baba says to that also. But that doesn't mean that because the person has done it, that I will follow suit and do the same thing. No. That is what Baba wants us to avoid. He is approachable to every individual in his own individual way. One can express the way one wants. One can, a person from a regiment, from the army comes, and we have seen it, express themselves, you see, they lay down their arms and stand straight in attention. That's their devotion. That's how they express it. And they have expressed it. And Baba has accepted their devotion and salutations like that. There are people who come rolling in dust, you see, and they are all full of dust, and Baba comes and embraces them. That's how he accepts that one. There are people who burn camphor on their palms and perform the art, you know. We have seen it with my, I have seen it with my own eyes. People have burnt camphor on their palm here like that and have offered, you see, their thoughts and minds in symbolically by burning camphor on the palm. So Baba accepted that devotion, that form of devotion also. There are some who just keep quiet and in the corner of a room or a place, quietly shed tears full of love and devotion. So Baba also, his attention is drawn and calls the person to him and embraces him and accepts his devotion in the silence of his love. So multifarious are the ways of expressing one's devotion, and each one is acceptable to him. So one has not to scoff at anybody doing this or doing that or anything. If you think that it's a ritual, avoid it. That's what Baba says. The best thing, as he said, is forget about all these things and hold on to me tightly and love me, love me. That's all what he says, I tell you. And Baba says that I am so, so, so very independent. Nothing can reach me. Nothing. There's no thing that can reach me. I am beyond, in the beyond state. Nothing can reach me. But there is little hope, feeble hope, that if you were to fly with the wings of love, those wings might bring you to my threshold, not to me. Because I am absolutely independent. I am beyond the reach of any concept. But love might bring you to my threshold. And this is where he has said this. And once you are at the threshold, pointing to this threshold, he has said, naturally my attention is drawn. So he did this. Once my attention is drawn, you are caught in the That's enough. So love me. This is how he told us, the rejected. Love is the only thing that will bring you to me. Nothing. And that love, of course, is by the grace of the perfect master, by the grace of the God-man himself. You can love him the way that will bring you to him, to his threshold.
But here it's happy love when there's no feeling.
Then again we have to go back on the whole formula, you see. Somebody asked Baba, you see, how to love you? So the first reaction, you see, the first spontaneous answer from Baba is, when anybody falls in love, does he ask others, you see, as to how to fall in love with somebody? He falls in love. He loves. He begins to love. While he was in Hamirpur, I think somebody says, but how to love you? This is, did you ever ask me when you fell in love with your wife? You fell in love with your wife. You loved her. So Baba then, of course, being compassionate, has also even given a little clarification on this. And he says that for the man of the world, he needs the object first in front of him to see and perceive and to feel, to fall in love. And then when he falls in love with that object, with that person, with a woman, what does he do? The woman is not there. He has seen it. And the first sight of it, you see, he has fallen in love with her. And then what does he do? He starts remembering. And he remembers, and he raves mad, you see. He does not know what to do. All the time her figure comes in his head, you see, and he is visualizing her, and he remembers her. With every little thing that he does, is full of thoughts of her. That's the way of the world. But to love me is quite different. I'm diametrically opposite from the way of the world. Illusion and reality are opposites. To love me, Baba says, you have to take the other course. You begin with remembering me, and then you'll have a sight of me, and then you'll fall in love with me. So how to remember him? So then that Baba says, well, begin it. As it is traditional, to hear of me, to read of me, to come in association of people who speak about me, to have my pictures around you, to have buttons around you, to anything that will bring home to you the fact that I am there, you see. Because we are weak, because we are in a childish love for him, you see. We need these things, supports, these crutches, these props. So we have them, have the pictures, not only in your sitting room and bedroom and drawing room, but also have it in the toilet if you need it. It doesn't matter, you see. So then you begin to remember him. These are the props to remember him. Then come in association of people who talk about him. Try to be there, you see. Try to think, set a time now, that early morning I'll remember you. before, no sooner I get out of my bed. The last thing that I will do is to remember you. At 12, at the stroke of 12, I shall remember you. Determined like that, resolved. So these are the drops, you see, in the beginning to remember. Then, of course, then you don't need all these drops, you see. You do away with these drops. Just as children, when they go to school, they do away with the slate and pencil and going over and over again with A over A and A over A to learn A. They don't need it then. Once they know how to write A and B and C and all the alphabets, all that is all no more needed. But they were essential in the beginning, you see. So these drops were essential and are essential. Then you come in association of Baba people and crowds, and then you get literature of Baba, and you get so engrossed, you see, you read the literature, and then all that is also, you have to do away with that. That's all common. That's, we have seen, we have heard, we don't need this and all that. Then what happens is, spontaneity is there. Anything that you do, when you sit down, you remember him, for giving you complete rest. Or when you are active, you remember him, that he keeps you active, how compassionate he is. He has said that, remember yourself less, that is equivalent to remembering me all the more. How compassionate he is, that he keeps me preoccupied. Then you drink water, you see. You're thirsty, and you drink water, and for the first gulp of water, you glorify him, saying, what a creator you are, to have created this cool water. Then you go there, and you have your food, and you mix with people. Anything that you do, you're reminded of him. You glorify him. Then your glorification reaches a stage, you see, that you are not satisfied by glorifying him for being a creator, but then for being giving you such appetite. You see. He has created food for you, so you glorify him. But then the stage comes that he has now given you the appetite to enjoy this creation. What a compassionate one he is. Then he has given you this. And in every little thing you see, you are so full of him in thoughts and remembrance that there is no room now for words while glorifying him. And you get choked. You just look in amazement because of all the glory that is around you, that surrounds you, that in which you yourself find yourself submerged. That's the time. When you have no words, no expression to express glory, his grace is there. He then gives the sight of him. That's the sight. And once you see him, see his radiance, see his effulgence, that's a sure sign of your having first fallen in love with him. Then the drama begins. After that. And then you long to become one with him. That's how it is. To have that grace of his sight, you have to remember. You have to build up that. What you said is right, but this is what he said in the principle. And love is the one, you see, that is shortest. No yogas, no meditations, nothing of the sort. Anything that, any little thing, a prasad now from Baba. You know, anything that, he has sat on this chair, oh, let us catch the chair. All these are not rituals, these are the things that are born out of remembrance of him, that keeps your memory of him green. Fresh. That's how it is. Don't reject it. Accept all these things. Humility and love go hand in hand. You know, in order to go, I don't know whether you all have come to know of it or not. So we've got only 5 minutes are there. What time? I don't know who created this time. So what has happened is, in order to preserve the memory of those, you know, Baba used to give prasad to people. Baba's prasad that he'd give of toffees, you know, candies. So wrappers were there. Sometimes he'd give banana, so people would eat even the banana peel also, let alone the banana. But then what to do with the wrappers and all that? So there are people who have preserved those wrappers also, because he says more than the prasad, the wrappers have come in contact with Baba, you see. So that's how the human mind is there. Anything that is given by Baba is preserved or consumed. So it's like that. Anything that has touched him, that has brought us closer to him, is very useful to us. That is his gift. Sometimes he gives us his gift. Prasad means what? He gives his gift of his grace by exposing his effulgence to you. Sometimes he gives a token of that grace through offering, like fruits, bananas, seeds, flowers, this, that. Sometimes he gives his prasad of words. We have so many messages, so many discourses, dissertations of this. Humanity is blessed by the prasad of his advent. So prasad means his gift. It's the gift of God to man. So these gifts are very helpful, very useful.
I guess what my question is has to do with things that touching, you know, bowing down to a chair, touching something, Baba's touch, which you say is useful, and remembrance when there's no desire to touch it. There's no particular association with it.
But when you
don't even particularly care, you know, when it is really just completely utilitarian.
When you have no desire for it, when you don't long for it, when you have no such inclination for it, automatically you will not think of it. But that which makes you think about it, naturally there is a lingering desire in it.
You mentioned many ways of remembering Baba.
Yeah.
Always I get the impression from what you say that Baba is dead, that maybe we can reach him with love in our hearts.
Only, also, but why? What happens, Kit? You said.
Baba is here.
I know.
He is participating in our lives. Oh, yeah.
I don't say he's here. He is the one who is suffering through us, you see. He has worn a mask of Kit over himself and tries to play the part of Kit. He has worn the mask of Eros and plays the part.
How are we to give growth to Baba? Now, our father, our real earthly father, gives us so much food, so much attention. There is no question how we should grow. Baba is giving us this now.
Yes, yeah.
I am in my life detected God.
Mm.
I'll tell you how this is.
Mm. Mm. It's 12:30 we'll at the stroke of 12:30 we'll get up. Get only 2 more minutes.
This is very easily done, how God can be actually detected in your life, doing things personally for you. What you have to understand is the passage of time. Because this is the event happening one after another. Now, God doesn't see time like we do. He doesn't care about 12:30. He sees time in a very wider perspective. So, watch how your life goes. So, expect miracles. When wonderful things happen. I came to India blind. I will go to Mathura. I will go to Vrindavan. I will see if Mary Baba's tomb is still there. Maybe someone is sweeping it regularly. And look what I came upon.
That's true.
Baba works. He works with us, personally. Now, that means he's doing it for us. Giving things. He said, I'm not going to give you children. I'm not going to give you wives. I'm not going to give you money, houses, and the rest. But he does. So, when a miracle happens in your life, look at it and say, is this a coincidence? Did it happen by some kind of natural processes? And be reasonable about it. If you say, this is no coincidence, or if you say, there's something special about this situation, then you will know Baba did it for you. And then there's no question, where does the love come from? Gratitude. This, you must watch on a daily basis. It's no good going grabbing Baba's chair and say, Baba sat here 20 years ago, or going to the tomb and say, there's a body here, a great deal of power here. What we need is something we can detect there.
That is
Baba is there.
That is for a postgraduate student, you see. What you're talking is from the tone of a postgraduate student. I am talking about the kindergarten. And remember one thing. Unless and until you create a separateness between you and Baba, you will not be able to love him. Because I have gone through that process.
Then you are...
Unless and until there is a separateness between you and Baba, you will not be able to love him. You will not be able to remember him. You will not be able to think of him.
Why should we promote such ignorance?
Why not? There is no promotion of ignorance. It is a life that is there. How do you say that Baba is with you now?
Baba is my real self that I cannot experience.
Oh, yes. All the libraries say that. Everybody says that. You see, I say it too. I will tell you, when we talk on our levels, we say that, yes, Baba is with us. It's not I speak. It's Baba's real self that speaks to me, to my mind. I say that is a different way. That's a different approach.
We must learn how to perceive our real self. And then there will be no question of where does love come from.
But words will not take us
there. The real self is perfect.
Words and thoughts will not take us
there. Let me explain. First, I will detect my false self.
That's right.
And then the real self will be what else?
That is revealed.
Let me tell you about my false self. It wants me to go out and mate. Yes?
Yeah.
It wants me to go out and eat. He doesn't want me to sit there and think about Baba.
Yeah.
He wants me to go out and screw. Yeah. This is the real self, but I am married. I have not been with a strange woman for 12 years. I do not intend to. So why does my mind keep saying, well, look at this one, look at that one. And when I put these thoughts aside, why does the mind start saying, well, it's time to eat. Let's go get some good food. If one night I dream, well, I will seek this woman. The next night I will dream, last night I dreamt, that one of the Baba lovers had set up some coin machines to dispense food. The machines weren't working. And I found that the food was stuck up in there. The people were putting the money in, they weren't getting any food out. I grabbed them in the pies. And I went over there with them and I said, this is my child. This is the false ego. And what for? I am well fed.
Okay.
I have two children.
One has to have that awareness.
And Baba is
not God. I find out if it's that I'm God.
If I got the next one, I would be able to get
you.
Because I have no experience.
That's
But discrimination is there. You have to. What you say is right. Analysis is there. One becomes more and more aware. The way.